Carl Azus, and we're looking up on today's show, explaining everything from a no-fly zone to the sky-high cost of rent to the flight of a wayward owl. We begin with money. The U.S. government is committing more of it in support of Ukraine and its continued fight against an invasion by neighboring Russia. Despite what we told you yesterday about hope that Russia might be pulling back from some areas and that there might be a meeting in the works between Russian and Ukrainian leaders, the battle has not let up. In a Ukrainian city where Russia said it would drastically reduce its military activity, the mayor said it was under, quote, colossal attack on Wednesday. Earlier this month, U.S. President Joe Biden signed an emergency spending package for Ukraine worth $13.6 billion. Part of this will send more weapons to the Eastern European country. Part of it supports more U.S. troops in the region, but not in Ukraine itself. Part of it goes to helping Ukrainian civilians and refugees. In the days after signing that package into law, President Biden committed hundreds of millions in additional military assistance to Ukraine, and during a phone call yesterday with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, the American leader said another $500 million was on the way. But there are limits to what the Biden administration and America's allies in Europe are willing to do. One of them concerns fighter jets. Ukraine has repeatedly requested more of them to target Russian forces from the air. But Russia has said that the U.S. and its allies would become participants in the war if they gave jets to Ukraine, so they've so far refused to do that. It's a similar situation concerning Ukraine's calls for a no-fly zone.
Говоримо про закриття неба. Не закривати небо над Україною. Небо над нашою державою було закрито.
Since the start of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky has called on Western governments to close the skies and enforce a no-fly zone over the country. A no-fly zone would put an end to Russia's superior air power, prevent Russian planes from bombarding Ukrainian cities, and let civilians flee the conflict more safely. They've previously been used in Iraq, Bosnia, and Libya. But what is a no-fly zone, and how does it work?
A no-fly zone is typically a UN-mandated aerial peacekeeping operation where a multinational force mounts combat air patrols and surveillance over a country and prevents either side from flying any aircraft. The most basic requirements would be fighter aircraft based at air bases near to but not in the country in question.
But these fighter jets would need to be supported by refueling tankers.
Fighter aircraft typically have about an hour to an hour and a half of fuel. They'll typically be on cap for 2 or 3 hours at a time, so they will require a tanking stop on the way over there. They will require tanking while they're on cap and then tanker to take them back over.
To monitor aircraft in a no-fly zone, you need another kind of plane called Airborne Warning and Control System Aircraft, or AWACS.
An AWACS is the equivalent of turning on a big ceiling light. It enables you to detect and then go and interdict any aircraft attempting to violate the no-fly zone. But of course, those tankers and AWACS also then need to be protected, as do the fighters themselves.
This complex and expensive operation is not something that every military is able to provide.
Only the United States has the military capacity to do this. We should be quite clear about what people are asking when they ask for a no-fly zone. What they're asking is for America to militarily secure the skies over Ukraine. And others to join them along the way.
A no-fly zone means that you're in a conflict with Russia. So from a U.S. perspective, our position remains that we're not going to do that.
The West is hesitant to introduce a no-fly zone for a couple of reasons. Primarily, of course, the danger of escalation in terms of Russia escalating quickly to tactical nuclear weapons, probably in Ukraine, to force the West to back off. But also, of course, for political reasons, the response to internationally to Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been extremely unified.
That unity would likely be shattered if there was any serious attempt to impose a no-fly zone, potentially leading to direct combat between NATO and Russian forces. In fact, a no-fly zone could even play into President Vladimir Putin's narrative.
It would aid the Russians in this sort of post facto justification that they've been trying to put in place for their invasion, that it was in response to a potential NATO intervention in Ukraine.
So while it's unlikely to happen, there are reasons why President Zelensky and his government keep pushing for a no-fly zone.
They feel that the West needs to be pressured continually to do more. Even if they understand that a no-fly zone is very unlikely, Western countries will feel obligated to do more in terms of other forms of aid because they feel bad about continually turning down this no-fly zone.
Hours after President Zelensky addressed the US Congress, President Joe Biden announced an additional $800 million in security assistance to Ukraine.
Ultimately, I think it may be a slightly self-defeating strategy at this point. It is becoming a bit of a drag on people's morale in Ukraine that the West won't do this. And of course, even if you could impose a no-fly zone over all of Ukraine, the vast majority of the damage being done in Ukrainian cities is being done by artillery, which is nothing that a no-fly zone can touch.
As Russia intensifies the offensive over Ukraine, pounding civilians through punishing artillery strikes on several cities, the West has been grasping for alternatives to a no-fly zone, as it refuses a direct confrontation with Russia.
10-second trivia! What is the most common type of roofing material in the U.S.? Rubber, aluminum, asphalt, or slate? Shingles made from asphalt are common and affordable, though they may not last as long as other options. There are several factors behind rising home prices and the record high costs of rent. We're about to show you what they are. The reason this matters is that it contributes to inflation when overall prices go up and your money buys less. This can impact the entire U.S. economy because it's largely based on the goods and services people buy. When it comes to home prices, it's not just about lumber and labor. Practically everything is getting more expensive.
This was nothing as I expected, purchasing my first home.
Allison Braun bought her first home in February. After losing bidding wars and paying $75,000 over budget, she settled on a fixer-upper, expecting to save some money.
It was really surprising getting in here and fixing things up. Overwhelming is another way I'd explain it.
Rents are up a record 17% in the last year, with homes up nearly 20%, and so are construction costs. Braun, who works for the real estate company Redfin, is redoing nearly every space in her home. The kitchen needed new counters.
And we were really surprised by the cost, especially the labor to put them in. We wanted to figure out a way of how we can do our countertops on our own and save cost and labor. So the concrete countertops were born.
But it's not just homeowners getting stuck with higher costs. Construction materials are up 24% in the last year. Bill McGrath's company is installing elevators in this new residential housing complex in New Jersey. So far, they've put in two.
What are the materials in this elevator that you have seen an increase on?
Well, right here you have the electronics, which this is stainless steel. You have the plastics, the electronic boards behind it, that's costing more. The ceilings, wood, you're standing on lumber, there's steel underneath.
And is all of it going up?
Yeah.
Supply chain slowdowns and demand have pushed construction costs up, forcing projects to come in over budget and over deadline.
How much more is this elevator going to cost than the one we just saw?
We're at, right, this one here is going to cost 17% more material cost than the other two that we completed.
And he says his 18-person company is spending more on gas to bring materials in, up 24% in the last month. All of these rising costs will get passed down.
Teachers, instructors, homeschool parents, if you're not subscribed to our daily newsletter, you're missing out on a free preview of what's in each day's show. To get it, all you gotta do is visit our website, cnn10.com, and scroll down to where it says, sign up for daily emails. A crime story rates a 10 out of 10. Police could clearly see that after he broke into a house in North Carolina, Steve needed help. This is Steve. He entered a house uninvited through a garage door and hid out in tight places, as well as on the kitchen counter. No one would see him there. But someone did. So the Greenville Police Department caught the suspect, had him checked out by Animal Protective Services, and let Steve freely fly back home. His home. So now that he's free as a bird, he's probably having a hoot singing hits like I'm Like a Bird, Snowbird, Freebird, Blackbird, Bluebird, Mockingbird, Fly Like an Eagle, Owl Survive, and my personal favorite, Owl Fly Away. Or maybe, just like a bird set free, all he had to say was see ya. Today we see Manny High School. Thank you for watching from Manny, Louisiana. I'm Carl Azouz.